Children are dismissed at this time for Children's Church, and everyone else would be invited to open your Bible to Ephesians chapter 1. Last week, we started a series on the fourfold gospel, which would be Christ as our Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and Coming King that we hold in the Christian Missionary Alliance. Shared last week that I believe a word that would give us some direction for the year the Lord has spoken is the word foundation or foundations, and re-examining some of the foundational things that we hold to be able to either confirm, or sometimes we need to recognize some cracks in the foundation of our lives or in the corporate body so that what the Lord desires to build will be built on a firm foundation. And so we're starting with the fourfold gospel, and last week, Christ our Savior, today, Christ our Sanctifier. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us this morning. Father, thank you for the chance to worship. Lord, now is the time to worship. Lord, one day we acknowledge that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father, but in these moments, we want to declare that we're not going to wait for that day, that we will bow in these moments. We will bow today, we will bow tomorrow, and declare that Jesus is our Lord. And so, Holy Spirit, would you come to, just as you have been in our midst, leading us, guiding us, would you lead us into truth this morning, I pray. Thank you, Father, for your word. Please speak through it to us, in Jesus' name, amen. So there was a California driver's license examiner. And that has to be one of those high-risk, hazard pay jobs to get behind, get in a car after car after car with 16, 17-year-old teenagers who are learning to drive. That wouldn't, you gotta pay me a lot to do that. But this driver's license examiner told about a teenager who had driven an almost perfect test. And he responded and he told folks, and he told that teenager, he said, "The only mistake you made was when you stopped to let me out of the car." Almost perfect. The teenager breathed a sigh of relief, and he exclaimed, "Boy, I'm sure glad I don't have to drive that perfect all the time." You wonder how he drove the rest of the time, right? You know, when it comes to Jesus Christ as our Sanctifier, the command of the Lord in the bulletin scripture of Leviticus 20:26 says, the Lord says to be holy as he is holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, it's echoed again by the Apostle Peter when he says that believers are to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy. That we are to live lives of purity, that we are to live lives set apart completely from sin and set apart to God. Reality is, if you're anything like me, you would say that is an impossibility. That we have periods of our lives that are kind of like that teenage boy in which we are able to do well for a short amount. We are able to do well when somebody is watching us. But to live every moment of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year until the day that we meet our end as perfect and holy almost sounds absurd. Sounds a complete impossibility. And the reality is, if you feel that way and if you think that way, it's because it is an absolute complete impossibility on this side of heaven. Because no one on our own strength is able to live holy, which is why we need Jesus to be our sanctifier, the one who makes us holy and the one who is making us more holy. It's okay to be able to admit, I don't have it together. It's okay to be able to admit, I am broken and I have some stuff in my life that needs to be cleaned up. It's okay to be able to admit that there's those one or two or three or five or 20 or 40 things that continue to come up and crop up and grab us that we need victory over. Because it's when we begin to admit those things that Jesus is being able to begin in a fresh way to show that he is our sanctifier. This morning, we want to journey more towards holiness, to be sanctified, set apart from sin, and set apart to God. This morning, I would encourage us that it is possible to be more like Jesus with him as our sanctifier. And I want to challenge us, too, that if we feel like we don't really need much of Jesus to be our sanctifier, that we take a hard look at our lives because we need Jesus. As much as we need him to be our Savior, we need him to be our sanctifier as well. Two aspects of sanctification that I want us to look at this morning. In your sermon notes in your bulletin, I invite you to follow along. There are some blanks that you can fill in. The first is Christ as our positional. We need to rejoice in our positional sanctification. Rejoice in positional sanctification. Positional sanctification, there's a definition blank, if we put the definition up. Positional sanctification is a standing before God received by grace through faith in Jesus, that our position is holy. Positional sanctification is a standing before God received by grace through faith in Jesus. Our position before God is holy. I told you to open to Ephesians chapter 1. I want to read verses 13 and 14 this morning. We'll be looking at several different scriptures. I want to begin here that speaks about positional sanctification. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, it says this. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. In a positional sense, in a sense of where you stand before God, when you came to the place we talked about last week of Jesus being our Savior, when you came to the place in your life where you recognized that apart from Christ, you were hopeless and there was no way that you would ever be able to be saved, forgiven of your sin, leading into a life with God, relationship with him and eternity in heaven. When you came to that place of recognizing that Jesus died in our place, when you repented of your sins, turning from your sinful life and turning to Christ, placing your faith in what he did for you on the cross and in the powerful resurrection that he demonstrated over death and over sin and over the enemy. When you came to that place, you were included in Christ. Literally, Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. It's as if positionally you are sitting in the lap of Jesus. Your life gets swallowed up in the life of Jesus. Your life gets included in the vastness and the power and the glory and the holiness of Christ. When you came to Christ, your life got included in his. It's a spiritual, heavenly reality. Your position changed from lost to found in Christ. From not a child of God to a child of God in Christ. To not being forgiven to being holy and blameless in Christ. All of that happened at salvation. You were in your position changed and you were made holy, pure, spotless, without sin in Christ. The Spirit of God was placed in your life as a marker, as a seal, a guarantee of the promised salvation that is to come. You were included in Christ. If you would turn your Bibles from Ephesians back a few pages to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you go backwards, it'll be Galatians and 2 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians. Galatians chapter 1. You were included in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1. Secondly, you were sanctified in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. It says this, Paul writes, to the church in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. When we were included in Christ, we were sanctified in Christ. With this inclusion in Christ, we positionally gain his attributes. Listen, we don't become God, but the realities of who Christ is become true of us in a positional standing. Because Jesus is set apart to the Father, because Jesus is holy and without sin, included in him, we become set apart to the Father. We become pure and without sin. We become holy. Our position before God in Christ is we are sanctified. Why and how is this possible? We've talked a little bit, but just look a few verses back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, we find this. We find that the way that this happens is that you are because Christ has become for you. Explain what I mean by that in a second, but you are sanctified because Christ has become for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says this, it is because of him, the Father, that you are in Christ Jesus. You notice his continuing words, in, you're included in Christ. You are in Christ. It's because you are in Christ. It's our position in Christ, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, our holiness, our redemption. It is because of him that you are. It is because of Christ that we are these things, righteous, holy, and redeemed. Not one of us is able to become righteous in right standing with God. Not one of us is able to become holy without stain and blemish, separated from sin and given to God. Not one of us is able to be bought back from the power of sin and the power of the enemy and the power of death and given over to God. Not one of us is able to do that. But it is because Christ has become for us sin. It is because Christ bore all of it on the cross that we now have been able to become righteous, holy, and redeemed. We are because Christ became a sin offering for us. Christ became our righteousness. Christ became our holiness. Christ became our redemption at the cross. So that when we place our faith in Christ, our position completely changes. We are now in Christ. And all that is true of him becomes true of us. Do we have something to rejoice in? We can never do this, but our position completely changed because Jesus became these things for us and we have been included in Christ. Have you heard the expression, seeing the world through rose-colored glasses? See the world through those rose-colored glasses. If you could see this really, really well, in that picture, there's rain coming down. Everything's dark and kind of dreary and gloomy and all that kind of stuff. But you put those rose-colored glasses on, and everything, all of a sudden, it looks like it's the most beautiful day like it is outside right now. I looked up to make sure that I knew what the expression rose-colored glasses means, and this is what I found. The expression seeing the world through rose-colored glasses means that we look in an optimistic perception of something, a positive opinion, seeing something in a positive way, often thinking of it better than it actually is. You know, that last part says so much about what we are in Christ. Because God the Father has his own set of rose-colored glasses. Those rose-colored glasses, we could say, are Jesus. When he looks at us, he doesn't look at all the mess of our lives, all the darkness, all the dreariness, all the brokenness, all the junk. When he looks at us because of our position in Christ, he puts on glasses that allow him to see us through Christ. That allows us to be seen in a way better than our lives really are. Because he sees us through his perfect son, Jesus. Our position is in Christ. And because our position is in Christ, we are sanctified, holy, set apart to God. That's our standing. And that's what we need to believe. If we are going to move forward in experiencing sanctification, which we'll talk about in a minute, we need to believe first and foremost the way we need to see ourselves the way God sees us. We need to see ourselves as set apart for him, as holy, as pure. Because in a positional sense, that's how God sees us. In Christ, we are holy, sanctified. Christ is our sanctifier. Can we for a moment just step back and say, praise you, Lord. The title of that point is Rejoice in Positional Sanctification. Can we for a moment just rejoice? It's all right to say, thank you, Lord. It's all right to say, Lord, without you, I would be lost. Without you, Lord, I'm not holy. Without you, Lord, I don't have any hope to find freedom from sin and brokenness. But with you, Lord, I am holy. I am sanctified. I am set apart for you. We rejoice. Rejoice together in our positional sanctification. Sometimes, though, we may say, well, that's great. I know positionally I'm sanctified. I know the way God sees me is set apart and pure and holy. But I see my life. And I see how far I am from that position. Well, praise the Lord, God doesn't just say, I see you that way. He sent Jesus to allow us to experience more and more holiness in our lives. Secondly, he sent Jesus so that we would experience progressive sanctification. Here's a definition. When we talk about progressive sanctification is the process of becoming more and more holy like Jesus is and aligned to our position in him. So if we are pure and perfect and holy in our standing included in Christ, the daily living out experience of progressive sanctification says, if this is what we are as holy in heaven, and this is where I am here on earth, and there's this big gap. Anybody have a gap between perfection and between how God sees us and how we live each day? Yeah. If you don't see it, we could talk about that. The reality is, in church is a place where we could say, yeah, there's a gap. I had a great quote from a former youth pastor that I worked with. It said, church is a place where you could stand up and say, I am wretched. And everyone will say, yes, but in Christ you're beautiful. And church is a place where you can stand up and say, I am beautiful in Christ. And others can stand up and say, but also remember you are wretched. It needs to be both. If I just tell you how beautiful you are all day, you'll say, wow, I feel great, but you'll leave going, but that's not really true. And if I just tell you you're wretched all day without telling you how beautiful you are in Christ, you're going to leave with your head down. We need to hear both. Positional sanctification says you're beautiful in Christ. Positional progressive says, you still got some wretchedness. But praise the Lord, Jesus came so that the position and the experience, the gap gets closed. The gap gets closed. Progressive sanctification is the process of becoming more and more like Jesus and more in alignment with who we are in position in Christ. How do we get there? What does it look like? It begins first with surrender to Christ. Surrender to Christ. Romans chapter 6. If you would turn there, if you're in 1 Corinthians, one book back towards the front. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. The Apostle Paul says, Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 14. In the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Paul says that it begins with a counting. The King James says, reckoning ourselves dead to sin and alive to Christ. It begins by us saying, I recognize my position that I am dead to sin and I'm alive to Christ. I recognize that sin is no longer my master. And I recognize here on earth that I am powerless to beat it outside of sin, outside of Christ. It is a decision that is often, and is an awareness that often comes out of desperation. I rarely find a person who comes to this realization and comes to this place in their lives without having come to the place where sin has battered them, where they have come to the place where they cannot get over the brokenness of their lives. When they finally come to the place where they stop trying and working and having effort and working and having effort and working and working and working, and they finally say, no matter what I do, it's still there. I can't beat it. I can't beat it. It's as if it's a crisis. It's a decisive place where we come to the end of ourselves and we say, I can't do it. Where it's either, God, you got to come through, or I've got no hope. God, this sin is so powerful over me that if you don't step in, Jesus, I don't know what I'm going to do. Let me ask you a question, friends. Have you gotten to the place in your life ever where you've said, I can't beat this thing. I can't beat this sinful habit. I can't beat this sinful mindset. I can't overcome my anger. I can't control my tongue. I can't do it. This addiction is too strong for me. I cannot do it. Friends, have you come to a place in your life where there has been something that you have come face to face with the reality that it is too strong for you? A crisis. And it's the position where then Jesus begins to do his work. Because we recognize that we can't. Jesus will not be your experiential progressive sanctifier if you think you can lick it. If you think you can lick it, you don't need Jesus. Jesus becomes your sanctifier in experience when you recognize that it's licking you and you can't get it. Have you been there? Have you been there? Have you been there? The encourage you, there's no shame in being there. Because that's when the power of Christ takes over. When you begin to say, Lord, I need you. And out of that decision, the fruit of that decision is we begin to say, I got to make some changes and I'm going to stop offering myself to this. Because in offering myself to this, I'm offering my very life as an instrument of wickedness. That's what Paul says. And instead, the fruit of this life is I am going to now offer myself to God. Many times, it requires radical change. It requires bringing others in to our lives and saying, this thing's licking me and I need some help. It requires coming out of the darkness and just struggling in secret and bringing it into the light where you say, I'm done with it. I want to be done with it. If you haven't had one of those moments, most likely, for most of us, the reason is we kind of like it. And we're not ready to be done with it yet. We're not ready to get rid of the habits and the behaviors and the practices of our lives because they're so familiar. Are you ready? If you haven't had one of those moments, I ask you for Jesus to be your sanctifier. Come to the end of yourself. Say, Jesus, here it is. I need you. It's surrender. It's surrender to Christ. It's death to self. Here's the reality, though, for a lot of us who maybe have had the place of coming to the end of ourselves. Death and surrender without resurrection is just death. We talk a lot about dying to self. I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live. Jack, you said it was your favorite verse, one of your favorite verses. It's one of my favorite verses. You know what? For a long time, I was really good at living in death. But is Christianity about death? What's it about? Life. It's an upside down kingdom where you have to die first in order for the resurrection power of Christ to kick in. But if we just focus on death, what good is death if there is no resurrection? See, we don't stop at surrender and at death. We go into new life. And this is where the work of the Spirit comes in, where we welcome the work of the Holy Spirit. You're in Romans chapter 15. Or Romans, turn to chapter 15, verse 16. The Holy Spirit has a role in this. Christ, our sanctifier, the Holy Spirit has a role in this. Romans 15, I'll begin in verse 15. It says, I've written you quite boldly on some points as if to remind you of them again because of the grace God gave to me. To be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles with the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by who? The Holy Spirit. Jesus, our sanctifier, but the sanctifying worker is the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. You find the book of Hebrews and James and then 1 Peter chapter 1. Peter begins in verse 1 and he identifies himself and he says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect strangers in the world scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, verse 2, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of who? The Spirit. For obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood. See, there is the reality of Jesus as our sanctifier. But the agent by which he sanctifies us is the Holy Spirit. We need to be people who welcome the work of the Spirit in our lives. For the longest time, I did so good at trying to live in death to self, but did not have resurrection life. You know why? because I was afraid of the work of the Spirit. I was resistant to the work of the Spirit. It wasn't until I welcomed the work of the Holy Spirit and saw the Holy Spirit not as one who's going to humiliate me or one who's going to out me or one who's going to cause me to do wild and crazy things, but as the one who brings the sanctifying power of Christ, that I was able to live in resurrection power. We welcome the work of the Spirit. And what does the Spirit do? One more passage. It's a little bit lengthy, but I want to read it and to make a few comments, and it's John chapter 14. The Gospel of John chapter 14 and verses 15 to 27. 15 to 27. In this passage, we see what the Spirit does. He allows Christ to make his home in us. When we welcome the Spirit, we are then allowing Christ to make his home in us. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 27 is Jesus' explanation to the disciples about the Holy Spirit and the work that the Spirit was going to do in them. This is right after John 14, 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. This is right after he has washed their feet and they've had the Last Supper. This is right before he talks about I'm the vine and you are the branches. This is right before they sing a hymn and they pray and Jesus is betrayed and goes to the cross. This is literally the night that Jesus is betrayed. And he teaches them about the Holy Spirit and he says this. John 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. Let me ask, can you see the Holy Spirit? No. Do you see his effects? Yeah. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. How is he going to do this? Jesus says, I'm leaving you, and I'm going to send another counselor, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. He explains, before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Verse 22, then Judas, and I love this, because this Judas, the zealot, is not Judas Iscariot. You know, I'm sure he was telling John, hey, when you write this, make sure you don't tell, you distinguish me. I don't want to be lined up with Judas Iscariot. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, but Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and do what? Make our what? Our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus instructs his disciples that his leaving is a good thing. That his leaving them will be a good thing. Because in leaving them, he would be sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to them. The Holy Spirit would live within them, bringing the life of Jesus in them. Up until this point, the disciples lived with Jesus. Would you agree? They lived with Jesus. They walked with him, they talked with him, they ate with him, they slept with him, they ministered, they did life together with him. Everything was with him. They were by his side all the time. How well did they do in those 3 years? Did they hear Jesus and be like, yep, I'm 100%, and just they listened to him, and now they went out and did it right away? What did Jesus say to them so often? Oh, you have little faith. Oh, you generation, how long am I going to stay with you? Oh, guys, why can't you deliver this young boy from this demonic spirit? Guys, I've been here with you, and you still don't get it. On the night he's betrayed, he says, pray with me. And what do they do? On the night he's betrayed, when the soldiers come, what do? They run. Listen, Jesus was with them, but how well did they do? Not so well, right? We look at them and we're like, ah. Well, I look at them and I say, oh, yeah, that's me. They had Jesus with them, but how much were they really transformed? Sure, they had some changes, but were they deeply transformed when Jesus was with them? No. When were they transformed? At Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came upon them, all of a sudden you have Peter, a denier, who stood up and declared Christ to 3,000, where 3,000 people come to know him. You have Peter and John standing before the Sanhedrin, and they say, are you preaching about this Jesus? And they say, yeah, we can't stop talking about what we've seen and heard. How do you change from running away and denying your Savior to now standing faced with death? How do you go from not being able to heal or deliver someone from demons to now Peter just standing and shadow being cast upon people and people being healed and delivered simply by coming in contact with his shadow? How's that happen? How do you have people who had no faith, oh, you of little faith, now taking bold risks, going to the ends of the earth to be able to proclaim the good news of Jesus? How does that happen? The Holy Spirit. And what did the Holy Spirit do? Who did he bring? He brought Christ in. Jesus, who was once with them, now by the Holy Spirit, was in them. And Christ in them made all the difference. Christ the sanctifier doesn't want to be just the one on the outside that we say, I have a relationship with Jesus, I read about him, and I sing to him, and I talk to him, and I try to follow what he says. Christ the sanctifier says, come to the end of yourself and welcome my spirit so that I might make my home in you. Because when Jesus makes his home in us by the power of the Spirit, we're not changed from the outside, we're changed from the inside. Sanctification is not behavior modification. It's not you trying to change the bad things you're doing. Sanctification is a surrender to Christ, a receiving of the Spirit of God in a fresh outpouring, a filling each day where he changes you from the inside out, where it becomes cooperation. This is sanctification. It's not you trying to do it. It's you just giving up in surrender, coming to the end of yourself and saying, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Fill me. May Christ live in me so that I might be changed from the inside out. You know, with the beauty of the weather outside, makes you think of spring, right? What happens in the spring in our houses? Or at least what we would like to have happen in the spring in our houses. Spring cleaning, right? Here's what sanctification is. Sanctification is cleaning out our lives so that there is more of Jesus who can inhabit us. Listen, if I have darkness in me, If I'm involved in some secret lustful activity where no one can see it, can Jesus take up that part of my life where I'm involved in some secret lustful activity? No. But what happens if I come to the end of myself and I say, Jesus, not only do I recognize that this is not a good thing, but I don't want it anymore. I'm not going to offer myself to it. I'm going to offer myself to you. And I repent. And Jesus comes. When that gets out, there's an emptiness, right? Which means there's space for the Holy Spirit to fill afresh. Which means there's more space for Jesus to make his home in us. Some of us have living rooms that are full of junk. And Jesus can't make his home in that part of our lives. It's time to clean out the living room. It's time to come to the end of ourselves. And it's time to let Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, inhabit that area. Some of you have a drawer in the desk. The rest of the house looks pretty good, but you know there's something in the drawer. And when no one's looking, you go to that drawer and you open it up and you spend some time with what you've got stuffed away there. It's time to empty the drawer out because Jesus can take up that space by the power of the Spirit. And the more of him is a good thing. Positionally, you are holy. Don't ever forget that. But don't you want to be more like who you are in heaven? Because when you're more like who you are in heaven, you get to know more of Jesus. You get to have more of the Spirit. And you're changed from the inside out. And you start to look a lot more like Jesus. And you get to have things like joy and experience the love of the Father. And know the peace that passes all understanding. And you find you have self-control over things you didn't have self-control over before. And that person who drives you nuts, all of a sudden, you find you have more patience for them. And where you once bit somebody verbally whenever they came to you, you now respond in gentleness. Why? Because you came to the end and you said, I don't want it anymore. Once I liked it, but now I don't want it. I want Jesus. By the power of the Spirit, Jesus makes his home in you in an expanded way. And it's a wonderful thing. Listen, I stand before you today not as one who is completely, experientially, progressively sanctified. This whole knee thing brought to my attention things, some things that I knew and some things that I didn't know. But I can tell you this, I was able to deal with some stuff in my life. And there's a whole new level of Jesus in my life than what there was before. I say that because no one ever arrives. And that's not something that should depress us. It should be something that motivates us because we will have more and more and more of him. And the more we have of him, the better life is. I invite the worship team to come and to lead us this morning in our closing song. But you know, even as we would have anointing for healing, you may want some prayer too, saying there's some things I need to get out so that Jesus might come in by his Spirit. And if that's the case with some folks, we'd love to pray with you. Please don't leave. I've been sitting on that side a lot, knowing that there was something I needed to deal with, and I said, I'll deal with it at home, or I'll deal with it tomorrow, and you know what? You usually just stay right where you're at. If the Spirit of God's tugging on your heart today, please don't go until you've done business with him. You'll be glad you did.
Let's stand as we sing our closing hymn, I Surrender All.
Let me assure you, Jesus loves you with an everlasting love. And he's the one who has made you holy in him before your Father. In him, you are pure. You are without stain. You are without blemish. He's done it for you. And he loves you so much, too, that he doesn't just want to make you before his Father have holy. He wants your life to be less and less filled with the sin and the brokenness from it. He wants to set you free of it. He's our sanctifier in position and in experience. You can trust him. He is good. And he does good work. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord give you grace to trust him. To live not in darkness, but to live in the light of the glory of Christ. May the Lord grace you with more of his presence by his Spirit so that you might know your Savior Jesus and your Abba Father making his home in you in expanded ways. May the Lord bless you. Go with Jesus, your sanctifier. Amen. If you have need for prayer, I invite you to come. The elders would come as well.